Shaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, August 18th, and we just finished watching Raw on USA, and it's time for us to gather, as we do for the Monday tradition, for the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. We are one night removed from one of the most chaotic SummerSlams in history. Lots of resets going down, three title changes. Was this Raw able to follow it up with excitement? We'll detail what went down, but first, let me introduce everyone who's with us this evening. I'll be your host. My name is Mike Payton, Station Director here at MegaPowersRadio, and with me this evening is my co-host, Mr. Tony Mango, president of SmartOutMoment.com. How you doing, Tony?
Doing all right. How about you?
Absolutely tremendous. Always happy to be here on MegaPowersRadio.com, speaking about wrestling with you and all the mega maniacs listening out there. So let's dig right into things that happened this evening. I mean, we got tons of stuff to be talking about SummerSlam. Just going to go ahead and forewarn you folks, we will be discussing a little bit about SummerSlam, but if you want to hear our full review in depth going into each one of the matches, be sure to stay tuned to SmartOutMoment.com for this week's edition of Smack Talk, where we detail every single thing we thought about it. But for now, let's focus on tonight's Raw. Tony, with everything that's gone down the past couple days after this edition of Raw, what's the number one thing that's sticking out in your mind?
You know, you can give fans title changes. You can give them part-timers that are huge stars. You can give them Stephanie McMahon back in the ring. But what are they going to chant? We want Ryback.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, for me, if I had to take one thing away from tonight's show, it's that new logo that we got. And I have to say, I thought they would make a bigger deal about it, but it just kind of happened. It's like, nope, we got this new logo. It's on everything. And there you go. I don't know. I mean, that's one of the bigger news. I guess lots of big news has happened throughout this weekend, but it's one of those things that just kind of flew under the radar. Vince McMahon tweeted out a photo of him raising up the new WWE logo on a flag, along with another smaller one that said $9.99 on it, because, of course, you know, that's the running gag right now. But I don't know. I mean, I know you've expressed a lot of reservations about the new logo, but what are you thinking now that we're seeing it in full effect?
I'm 50-50. It looks great in some ways. Like, I actually really like the one that's on the stage. That's like real tight.
That looked awesome.
Yeah. But in some other ways, it's too crammed. Like, the little logos at the bottom of the screen where they have that next to the Raw logo, it just like barely looks like it's there. Like, it needs to be, I don't know, maybe like more bold, or it needs to be more squared off, or I don't really know. Like, it seems like it's too vertical. Like, it's kind of the size of like the images that you use for your cell phone, where it's like more tall than it is wide. And I think that they needed a square.
Like, people shooting themselves doing that ice bucket challenge. They're all shooting them in the wrong aspect. They're all shooting it tall instead of wide. And it pisses me off, as if the whole concept isn't enough to piss someone off. Shoot your video right. Learn how to hold the damn cell phone when you're shooting a video. That's a much bigger problem than anything that's going on down here. I just want to remind everyone out there listening, this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. And if you want to get your opinions heard about tonight's show or anything else that's gone down the last few days of wrestling, we have the chat room open. And we also have the phone lines that'll be opening up around 11:30. Dial in, get yourself in line. Area code 760-512-7247, or you can dial in by pressing the Skype icon at the top of the page. Save your minutes, whatever you're looking to do. Already in the chat, and we got Five Times Combo, Creepers Onto Radars, and Mr. Kata representing the panel here, Mr. Drew White, who unfortunately could not actually be live on the show with us. He's off becoming a man at college. We miss you, Drew. Well, we're happy to have you here in the chat room with us.
He's literally becoming a man right now. Say hi to her.
Tony, I don't know what is the top thing to take away from this show, and besides what we're talking about, what would be your first match you would want to talk about, or first segment, or whatever? What's your favorite thing that's going on tonight?
That's tough. Tonight was just not as good as I was hoping it would be, and a lot of the stuff was okay, but not great. Some of it was just kind of even not even okay. I mean, I got tired during this episode of Raw. And
I got horribly tired.
Yeah, and I woke up today at 6 o'clock. So
PM?
I really... Yeah, 6 p.m. I woke up. So it wasn't like I, you know, I had been up like all day or whatever like that. But, you know, you rearrange your schedules around. If you go to sleep at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon and wake up at 6 or something like that, you're refreshed enough that you should be able to sit through Raw and not get sleepy. But midway through this episode, I decided to lay down for a little bit just because I was, like, exhausted. And it wasn't in a way of, like, there's so much excitement going around that it's wearing me out. I'm about to have a heart attack. It was just kind of like, oh, man, I kind of wish that, like, something would happen to liven me up here. It wasn't a horrible episode, but there's really nothing that stands out to me. Is there anything that stood out to you?
You know, not particularly. I mean, other than the new logo, which in turn affected us with new titles, which is the main thing I was looking out for this night, was seeing all the new titles, not just a new world title, but everyone got new titles and they all looked really nice and shiny. It was a really neat thing. We also had a completely new look as far as the, you know, the versus match screens, the nameplates as the wrestlers are coming out. What'd you think about all that? I mean, we're both production guys. We both make our own versions of logos and nameplates and all those things along that. What'd you think about their presentation for all those things?
I like that a lot. I think that's a huge step up. Although I'm pissed because a couple months ago, I finally found something that really fit the Did You Know parodies that I do in the background. And now they don't fucking do that anymore. I gotta redo it all over again.
And the new one is weird. It's really weird. I don't know. It just seems like it has, like, way too much going on. They have, like, a bunch of little screens or something that display before it shows the fun fact.
I actually didn't notice that part. I looked away like that split second when it pops up with the actual Did You Know section. But the content itself, they used to have like this blue white kind of effect. Not Drew Wright, blue white. And I never was able to get that right on Photoshop just because I'm learning Photoshop on my own instead of teaching myself, or like these people that actually have, you know, degrees and this kind of shit that know a hell of a lot more than I do. I was never able to get that right, but now that they're just like solid white in the background, that'll be a lot easier. So I think that everything, like the little transitions for the Raw logo and little things like that, even though at the very end of this episode, when they were cutting away from Seth Rollins, it was just this little, I don't know what you would call it. It looked like it was like the WWE logo made out of lights or something. Do you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a little, like, end of the show kind of a thing. And I like that a lot. I thought that was cool.
It seems like they're trying to do this thing with lights now, like, especially with the nameplate intros. It looks very much like those dot matrix light systems that you would see that are running announcements for whatever it is in a building. It actually is kind of hard to read. I don't know if I'm too big on that one, but the rest of the presentation I'm digging. The versus screens are really cool. I'm kind of shocked they didn't just debut a new Raw logo if they were going through all that.
I don't think they need to. I think that this one's fresh enough. Kind of the same thing with the title belt. Like, they just change it up a little bit, make it, like, a couple of tweaks here and there. Although,
I mean, they're still on the old Raw logo in the back.
Oh, they still did that? I was trying to pay attention to that. I didn't notice.
I didn't see if it was still there tonight, but, I mean, it's been there for how long?
The one with the little chain that they hung up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's stupid as hell. I don't know why they took so long to get rid of that, if they haven't even already.
Well, those of you in the chat room and when we get the phone lines opened up, sound off what you think about this whole new look for WWE with their belts and all that. I think the new belt is fine. A lot of people are complaining about little things about it. I think like the fact that it doesn't say champion on it or it doesn't have a nameplate. Those don't particularly bother me too much. It has the custom side plates. If you're big on nameplates, which I actually think is cooler, it's a little more customizable. It makes it fit a person's personality a little bit more. And like I said, I like seeing all these shiny new titles. That shiny new old school Intercontinental belt looked great on Ziggler. The new tag belts looked actually okay because they were nice and shiny for once rather than just being dirty pennies that you find on the street. I don't know. Do you think we need to get new belts for any other ones, or is it just the world title that had to be changed?
I think, well, we need to get new tag title belts because of those stupid pennies. But I actually would have been happier if they would have gone with the black strap for the Intercontinental. I like the white, but I've always liked the black better. And what's annoying me about the new WWE title belt is they got rid of the thing that says champion at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't need to do that. They could have, again, the new logo is too tall for its own good. They could have squished it a little bit and fit that champion thing in there. There's photo manipulations online of people that just took that months ago and applied that network logo into the championship belt, and they were able to do that. So I'm sure that WWE would have been able to do it, but they just didn't want to for some fucking reason. Then again, we're talking about the organization that used a belt that said champ for the longest time and spun around. So, you know, I do like the older version of this newer belt, possibly the best out of any championship other than maybe the old winged title. This is a little bit of a step down, but at least it's got the right logo in it now. They couldn't have been able to keep the old one. It would have looked stupid as hell.
I'm happy to be back to one title as well. Yeah, Cena's scarf was annoying.
Definitely. Two titles was pointless. You can't unify something and then not unify it. I mean, they didn't need to glue it together or something like that, but they could have just had the one championship because that's all that they needed, you know?
I got Creepers into Radars in the chat room saying they should have added a globe behind the new logo, seeing as how they insist on calling it the WWE World Heavyweight Title. I wouldn't mind that idea. I've seen some concepts done with that. And I think if there's one complaint that I see a lot of people bringing up, it is that black background where you just see the leather strap. And kudos for something different. And I did like it on the last one, but on this one, without that gold bar at the bottom that says champion, it's a lot more noticeable seeing that black background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so let's just do our chronological rundown of Raw, and we'll just talk about each thing as it pops out to us. Our opening segment this evening featured both of the Bellas in the ring after the quote-unquote shocking turn by Nikki Bella last night at SummerSlam with the match between Brie Bella and Stephanie McMahon, allowing Stephanie to get the victory. It looks like this story was going to be progressing a little bit further, or at least Stephanie's still going to be standing on the sidelines while we have Nikki versus Brie. This is a very interesting situation because Nikki and Brie are, of course, both stars still on Total Divas. So I think there's going to be a conflict of interest there. And what I also think is kind of funny is now Nikki Bella, the first woman besides Stephanie, of course, to be in the Authority, so to speak. And her boyfriend is John Cena, who's one of the main enemies of the Authority. So that's kind of like a little conflict there.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to acknowledge that, though. I think that's like one of those kind of rare instances where they're going to be like, everybody, please watch Total Divas, but forget about that one thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to see as we go into Night of Champions? I think, without going into too much detail about it, I think Stephanie and Brie did much better than I think anyone would have given them credit for. I don't know if I would necessarily mind seeing another match. And funny thing is, I'm not as positive about a possible Brie and Nikki match, but what would you think about that?
Here's the thing. Night of Champions sucks. It's become pointless. And I don't even think that the pay-per-view should exist anymore. If you're going to give me a pay-per-view called Night of Champions that used to exist on the philosophy that every championship was finally defended in one show, you don't have any championships anymore to do that. And including matches like Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella is not going to sell me on the pay-per-view, especially not going to sell me on buying the WWE Network or for the public.
For only $9.99.
Yeah, for the other people out there that have already purchased it and their renewal is coming up soon, is that going to be the selling point? Night of Champions, when every championship is defended, like it pretty much always is, but we also have the Bella Twins against each other. That's not a selling point to me. Yeah, the Bellas feuding with each other is interesting to an extent, but it's not exactly something that I am craving to see. If I never saw that match again, because I'm pretty sure we have seen it before, it wouldn't be like the bothersome thing like a Sting versus Undertaker or The Rock versus HBK or Hogan Austin or any of that kind of stuff. It's not like this is going to go back in time and we're going to be like, damn, if Randy Savage could have had one more match or if Ultimate Warrior could have had one more match, if only the Bella Twins could have had one match. You know, it is what it is. It's fine, but the Stephanie feud's probably going to be the top of what it was, and that's already gone.
You know, I just realized there's another match we could add to those dream matches we might never see now, and that's CM Punk versus Austin.
That's true, yeah. CM Punk.
Everyone was going nuts about that match about a year ago.
Yeah, then it just didn't happen. And now CM Punk's not going to be wrestling anybody, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, CM Punk still may possibly come back, but I mean, that's not going to be for some time, I would imagine. And by then, you know, Austin's still not very likely to wrestle another match. And if he did, it's only going to get less likely as time goes on.
Yeah, and right now, I don't think that they would trust CM Punk in that kind of a situation. Let alone have CM Punk beat Steve Austin. You know what I mean? If they're going to have Austin come back and wrestle one match, he's going to face either Hogan or Cena. It's not going to be him jobbing out to CM Punk after he left like that. They're not going to do CM Punk any favors. They're going to welcome CM Punk back when he's crawling back to them, if anything, you know?
Oh, if there's money to be made, they'll always figure it out. Got the chat room is popping up a little bit nicer. We got it fleshed out a little bit more. We got Five Times Combo, Creepers on the Radar, Ferris 419, our very own Mysticata representing the Drew Crew and Mega Powers Radio in the chat room for us. And we got a number of guests there. Hey, if you're listening in, you haven't registered to use the chat room, go ahead and do it. Sign up with blogtalkradio.com, scroll on down to the bottom, and you will find the chat room there where you can chat with the rest of the Mega Maniacs. We're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a few more minutes, so if you want to dial in, get your voice heard on the Raw Post Show on megapowersradio.com. Number to dial is area code 760-512-7247, or join in with the Skype icon at the top of the page. Let's rock one more quick segment here, because I don't think we're going to have too much to talk about this one. We had a tag match as our first match of the show. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan going against a new tag team, Big Show and Mark Henry. Big Show and Mark Henry pretty much dominated a lot of this match. I mean, Harper and Rowan got a bit of offense into it, but Big Show and Mark Henry looking very, very strong, looking like they're a force to be reckoned with in the tag division. They get the victory in the end with a WMD and World's Strongest Slam combo. They've been teaming up a number of times over the past couple weeks, and it looks like they may be something that's a focus with the tag division, but they got so much going on. It's like, what's this guy's place going to be? And even more confusing, Mark Henry would come out later in the night to challenge Rusev. It's just confusing as what their plans are for these guys. I mean, I guess it's not impossible to have more than one concurrent story going on for a guy like Mark Henry, but it's kind of an odd guy if you're going to do two stories to do it with a guy like Mark Henry. But what are you thinking about this, Tony?
I don't want to see Henry versus Rusev. I really don't want to see that. Especially, again, at Night of Champions. A selling point of his match that's not a championship one. But, you know, if they're going to try to sell me on the idea of Big Show and Mark Henry, which I'm totally fine with, and I hope that they kind of go with that big and strong name because it's simple, but it works. If they do that, don't throw me something else to distract me from it. Start a feud with them and that new nation stable. Or... Yeah, exactly. Or start a feud with them and fucking Slater Gator. That way I can get a little used to them as a tag team. And then maybe, I don't know if Stardust and Goldust are going to be like turning heel or anything like that. Or if the Usos are going to be just battling a bunch of babyface teams over the next few weeks or months or whatever. But if they do need to bring up other different tag teams to face the Usos, Big Show and Mark Henry can do that, but you can't have them wrestling other people in singles competition too. That's going to water them down. If Big Show is going to be wrestling Randy Orton every other week on SmackDown, or Mark Henry is going to be in a program with Rusev, not only does that screw Jack Swagger over, but it doesn't help Mark Henry's tag team. You know what I mean? You agree or disagree?
No, I agree. I mean, it looks like they don't know what they want to do for either of them, and it's not really making a big focus. I think the crowd can get behind a Big Show and Mark Henry tag team. These are two veterans that people have more or less always been behind whatever they're doing. Maybe it took people a number of years to warm up to Mark Henry in some cases, but I think at this point, people will watch whatever they're doing when they come out there. And if they want Mark Henry to be a singles guy and fight Rusev, then have him be a single guy and fight Rusev. If they want him to be a tag team with Big Show, then have him be a tag team with Big Show. There's no reason to be both. You got a more expansive roster than to have to do something like that.
Right.
I mean, didn't someone say they noticed that Big Show and Mark Henry even had a custom Titantron?
Oh, they did?
I thought someone said they pointed that out. They had a custom Titantron.
Cool. They should do more of that.
Well, at least they haven't combined their theme music in some kind of obnoxious way yet.
Ugh. Yeah.
Well, it's the Big Show, and someone's going to get their ass kicked.
It's the big wig splitting town.
All right, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines now. We're going to bring out our first caller, main one we always have here, number one on Mega Powers Radio's Raw Post Show, the man from Pittsburgh, PA, Mr. JD. What's shaking, JD?
Hey guys, actually I'm on location this week, believe it or not. I'm on vacation with my family. I told you guys last week I'm calling from the Outer Banks of North Carolina tonight, so I'm not in Pittsburgh tonight, but I am in the Outer Banks of North Carolina tonight.
How's that vacation going?
It was a rainy night. It's good. I mean, we've had good weather. I mean, we have a little rain right now, and it's supposed to rain tonight, but it's supposed to be nice again tomorrow. It's been nice so far since we got down here, but I'll be back in Pittsburgh on Saturday. But I did get a chance to watch Raw last night. I did not get a chance to see SummerSlam last night. So let's get to Raw. Not a bad show tonight in Las Vegas. It was a pretty good show for the most part. However, honestly, I mean, I was a little surprised they would start off with Stephanie the Whore and doing her little Steph shirt, which was absolutely bullshit to start the show, however. And, of course, Nikki Bella comes out, however, later in the show after Stephanie continues to run her mouth saying, oh, Bria didn't get the job done, however, her husband's this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, Nikki slaps Bria. And then Steph just takes surprise how the Nikki slap Bria. I mean, I'm like you guys, how I have no interest in this program at all. And, of course, once again, just goes to show certain people in authority love to kiss the authority's ass, like Dean, like Seth Rollins. However, you saw what he did at the end of the show tonight when him and Corporate Kane had to stick his big fat ass into the matter and help Seth Rollins cheat. However, needless to say, they never said there was a win or anything like that, but they stopped the match, however, when Dean Ambrose had his head in that cinder block, however. And once again, what happens? Kane basically abuses his authority. What's Triple H going to say? Oh, that's okay. Kane can do whatever he wants, however. Yeah, it just goes to show you people love to kiss the authority's ass week in and week out, however. And like I said, for weeks on end, I mean, someone has got to set the authority straight, however. But once again, the authority has to abuse their power because it's in their contract, if you will. But as far as the Brock Lesnar CM match last night, I mean, my friend told me it was a very physical match, a very intense match. However, I can see why Cena got the night off tonight. I mean, Brock just absolutely abused Cena last night, abused him to the point where he just totally mauled him in every sense of the word. However, now they're saying John Cena's coming back next week, however, on Raw. I mean, does that say John Cena wants a rematch and say to Brock, I want a rematch against you? I mean, come on. He should know that Brock's going to do the same thing to him, and that leaves the question. I mean, with Brock as the champion now, and I said it last week, however, who does Brock take on, however, and does he start doing that full-time schedule now? I mean, they're going to have to tell him, you're going to have to do the full-time schedule now that you're champion. I think he has no choice to do it. What do you guys think?
You know, you're not wrong. You can maybe have him miss one or two pay-per-views on whatever plan they have for him long-term, but at the very least, our next pay-per-view is Night of Champions. If you don't have your World Heavyweight Champion there, that's a very big problem and abuse of the gimmick if you're not using it to its full potential, which means having your world champion there. I think that Brock's biggest problem is he doesn't like traveling a lot. If he's just there for two Raws of a month and then the pay-per-view, he's only taking a few flights. He's only doing a number of dates. He doesn't have to do the local house shows. Those aren't that important for him to be there. I think he can pick up a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he can skip the houses. That's fine. But when you're scheduled to be on, like, say, a Raw, a SmackDown, or a pay-per-view that you are put in writing, however, to defend your title, you have to be there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it in your contract, however. I mean, I've already heard some people say Bautista might be coming back, and I just shudder to think him and Lesnar doing a program together. I mean, you talked about Rusev and Henry earlier. I hope Henry does squash Rusev. I mean, what Rusev did last night with his little whore Lana to Zeb Coulter was despicable. And meanwhile, tonight, you look at JBL, he ripped apart Jack Swagger, and now it looks like Swagger's going to be maybe doing a program with Bo Dallas. Bo effing Dallas? Really? Come on. Bullshit.
Guy who couldn't even beat R-Truth a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly. And talk about R-Truth, however, look at that. I mean, what was it, two or three weeks ago, we were talking about this, the whole new Nation of Domination thing with Big E, Kofi, and Xavier Woods. What have they done? They've absolutely pissed on this gimmick. Apparently, I guess I heard management wasn't really too high on it, and I guess they decided to pull the rug out before they even got started. That just goes to show, I think, more and more, WWE just has certain guys on this roster that they don't even have no gimmicks for. I mean, you're talking about tag teams. So the one team I keep hearing that they are going to bring up essentially could be the Ascension, possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard a lot about them. They are talking about bringing this team up eventually. I mean, tonight you look at the tag team match, how it was good first tag team match. Then you have the freaking Dust Brothers beat the Usos in non-title matchup. What the hell is up with that bull? Do you know?
Well, it seems like they've been grooming them to be the next contenders for the tag titles, and that's always the easiest way, the laziest way, you could always say, to set up a potential tag match for the future. But the it would have been nice if it was a little more convincing. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, let me tell you this, though. The Dust Brothers, however, have no potential. I mean, for a while, however, they were always sitting in the back, and they had those stupid little vignettes. Now the last couple weeks are on TV. Tonight they don't bring Keith Slater, apparently, on a match or whatsoever. Like I said, there are certain guys they didn't even bring on the show tonight whatsoever. I mean, you had a good six-man tag, which was decent, huh? But like I said, you had to start the freaking match with the Bellas and Stephanie the Whore. Really? You could have saved this till like maybe 9 o'clock, done it in the second hour. You could have started the show with the whole Brock Lesnar championship celebration. Instead, you went brass ass backwards and changed it on the fly.
I actually completely agree with you. I was shocked when Brock Lesnar was not opening that show. That was what was on everybody's mind after SummerSlam. They want to make a big deal about this new title, this new logo. You would have really given it some oomph if it was at the start of that show. Tony, do you agree with that, though? Do you think that structure-wise, I know you're a guy who looks a lot into the timing of these shows. Do you think that that would have been better pacing if they had that at the start and then thrown this Bella thing somewhere in the middle? Or is it better just because not many people might be watching at 8 to have that Bellas at the top?
Definitely go with Lesnar. That's the big thing. I mean, they wanted to put a lot of emphasis on the Stephanie McMahon storyline, and maybe that's just because it's Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, you know, you value your wife more than anybody else.
Because of their abuse of power, and they figure they can do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. Anyway, quick point, high point, low point before you cut it loose for the night. And don't forget, guys, 3 weeks from tonight, however, we got to debut that new segment we were talking about last week. All right, we'll be starting to take questions from the fans out there. If you're interested,
yes.
You can start doing that 3 weeks from now. Tonight, however, on the first Monday night of the regular season, I'm looking forward to it. High point tonight, however, I would say this person tag was good. I would also say the opener was good. The low point of the night, however, was this Paige Natalya thing. I mean, really, you're going to continue on with this whole Paige AJ thing? I mean, this was just absolutely hokey at best. It went a minute and a half. I mean, Christ, I could have taken a piss and guns to eat, which I did, however, during this whole time. But this was just absolutely a waste of time by putting this on tonight. It really was.
I mean, at least they're trying to get more use out of the Divas division rather than just AJ and Paige and whatever they're doing with the Bellas. I mean, it was nice they're experimenting. Like, they were experimenting with Naomi and Cameron. It flopped, but at least they were trying. Now they're trying to get Natalya back on TV. Hopefully, it's not just a one-week thing. I mean, she's been doing her thing down in NXT, and she's always been someone who I thought has been underutilized. She had a different look tonight. She had those shorts on, which I seems to have a differing opinion to what people think about that. Who knows? Maybe she's someone who can insert herself into what's going on there.
The one diva they totally underutilized, however, I mean, she's been on TV once since her whole little bust, however, and even before that, she was doing the whole comedy skit with Santino's Emma. They've totally lost her in the shop. Yeah.
Well, let's not forget she got fired at one point.
Yeah, true. All right, guys. Well, I just want to get my 2 cents in, as always. And like I said, I'll be back home next on Saturday, however, and I'll be calling again next Monday night. So, like I said, hopefully you guys can get that plug in again. Don't forget, 3 weeks from tonight, starting on the 8th hour, I will be allowed, if we can do it, however, I will be allowed to take one question every week from fans because I am looking forward to giving you my real answer. But like I said, however, I just don't think the ratings are going to be that great tonight. I mean, it wasn't because of Cena not being on it. It's just the way the show started out. And then you had the shitty ending with Kane and freaking Seth Rollins get a cheap victory, or not a cheap victory, I should say, a fluke, however, over Dean Ambrose, however. And then, of course, it once again just shows you that certain people in the authority, however, that are in the authority, love to kiss each other's ass, like Seth Rollins kissing Kane's ass and Kane kissing Hunter's ass.
I agree with you, man. This show, this Raw tonight was kind of a bummer. But, JD, I know you didn't get a chance to see SummerSlam yet. I highly recommend it. I think it was one of the better pay-per-views of the year, and I'm seeing some people saying it's the best SummerSlam of all time, which I think might be a little too much praise for it. I think it was a very good show, though, and I think if you watch it, you'll end up enjoying that.
I will have to check it out, and like I said, the other thing that's pretty crazy is, though, real quick before I cut you loose, however, is that next year, I'm sure you guys saw it last night, however, they said that next year they're moving out of L.A., however, to New York, New Jersey. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's the first time in a long time we've seen no SummerSlam in the same city. I mean, are they trying to make it more interesting again? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But JD, fantastic call as always, man. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next Monday night after lunch. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Have a good night, man. All right, another fantastic call from Mr. JD, not from Pittsburgh tonight. I believe he said it's from North Carolina. If you would like to be like JD, call in, get your opinions about tonight's Raw, whatever else is on your mind. Dial in area code 760-512-7247 or hit the Skype icon at the top of the page. JD brought up something pretty awesome that they announced last night at SummerSlam show. They've been in Los Angeles 6 years consecutively. However, they decided to pick last night to announce 1 year in advance that SummerSlam next year will be coming to, quote, the New York, New Jersey area, which is very interesting that they use that verbiage specifically, because that's the same verbiage they used when they did the WrestleMania 29 show, which is what they did from MetLife Stadium. I have to wonder why they would use that if they were not possibly thinking of doing the exact same thing. I don't know if SummerSlam is big enough to do in MetLife Stadium. Maybe you could. I think you might be able to pack it for a secondary show, especially if you have a really big match planned for it, which I could spitball a few ideas of things you could possibly throw out there. Brock Rock, Roman Reigns Rock, Batista Brock, Batista Rock. You could think of all these really huge combinations, WrestleMania caliber matches that you could put on SummerSlam to make it that big party this summer that, you know, people looking at this card going in thought it wasn't going to be, and of course it still ended up being it, but before that, a number of years, it hasn't felt like we've had that big, big card thrown in the middle of the year like SummerSlam has had. If it's not at MetLife, I don't know why they would use that terminology. I mean, other buildings you could possibly go to, of course, Madison Square Garden, one of the most historic buildings in the world to have an event in, and certainly a place that has a lot of history for WWE. Izod Center, which is right next to MetLife Stadium, that's in New Jersey. So, I mean, if they're including New Jersey, I have to imagine this has something to do with New Jersey. If it was just New York, why not say New York? Which is also why I would rule out the Barclays Center, which is a fantastic new arena. They just built it a few years ago. It's one of the most technologically advanced arenas in the country. I believe they just had TLC there a couple years ago, I should say. Fantastic arena. Last time they were in New York, they were actually out in Long Island. It was in 2004. That was when Brock Lesnar beat The Rock. How funny would that be? 10 years later, back in New York, we have Brock and The Rock in the main event of SummerSlam once again. I think that would be very fitting. But Tony, you're from this area too. You're from New Jersey. I'm from New York. So we're representing both of the areas that was mentioned. We attended WrestleMania 29 at MetLife Stadium. What do you think about all this, man? Where do you think is a good place for it to go? Are you excited for it to come to the East Coast? Is it a mistake to leave Los Angeles where they've been for all these years? What's your thoughts on this?
Thank God they're leaving LA. Man, I want to see an actual SummerSlam. And I ain't fucking flying out to LA.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if I had the money, yeah, sure, I definitely would. I want to check out L.A., but, you know, that's an expensive flight when you factor in your hotel room and you factor in getting some decent seats and then, you know, food and everything like that. I mean, you could get a hot dog and it's like $20, so that's a huge thing. I don't know what the venue would end up being. I would kind of assume more Izod Center than MetLife. Mm-hmm. But they could pull off MetLife. I mean, you don't need to have the entire thing packed 100%. You can wait. Does MetLife have a roof on it?
No.
They don't have the option for that. It's not like one of those.
No, they don't have a dome they can put on there. But shit, that might work better because you got to consider you're in the middle of the summer. It's not like when we were there in April when the wind was blowing so hard it was blowing our freaking plates and everything all over the place, and then it starts raining in the middle of it, which, you know, could still happen. It could still always rain any point of the year, but you have a much better likelihood of having a nicer day.
Yeah, it sucks going to WrestleMania wearing an undershirt, a normal t-shirt, a dress shirt, a coat, and a hoodie, and then being like, oh, it's kind of cold. But, yeah, if they do it anywhere up in there, I'll definitely be trying to give it a shot. The Royal Rumble is supposed to be somewhere around here, like Philly or something, right?
I believe it's Philly.
Yeah, so I'm going to be definitely trying to go to that because Philly's like 15 minutes away from me. So if I can make 2015 a year where I go to the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam, holy shit, that'll be fucking awesome.
That'd be awesome. And I tell you what, man, I have a lot of optimism for the potential cards for those shows. With all those matches I was saying before, I think these are things that are possibly on the docket for the next year.
At the very least, the Royal Rumble, I think that they're going to make up for last year. SummerSlam, I mean, this was a good SummerSlam, and the past couple of years have really sucked. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to, like, they figured out what the problem is, and now it's going to be good from now on, or if this was like that rare instance where everything, well, not everything, but the majority of the things kind of fell into place. And next year they're going to make the fucking mistakes again. I don't know. I mean, I still would check it out no matter what. If I could spend $150 on a decent set of seats and go there, that'd be awesome.
Cook some burgers. So what I consider is Brock Lesnar. All the thoughts about this is that he's going to be holding this title until WrestleMania. I think there's like 7, 8, maybe 9 pay-per-views between now and then. How many of those is Brock Lesnar going to appear at? And how many people do they really have that they can put him into a match that's going to matter, that people are going to want to see that pay-per-view? I mean, I think people might just be interested in a pay-per-view just to see Brock Lesnar face pretty much anybody. But who do they have at that level that people can go in there and buy as any kind of respectable challenge?
I have no faith whatsoever that he is going to hold this until WrestleMania.
Really?
Zero. I don't even think he's going to hold it until Royal Rumble.
Huh.
I'm thinking he's dropping it at Survivor Series.
And who? To who?
That's a tough one. I don't know. They didn't really plant any seeds tonight for that. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of the celebration of Brock Lesnar. Maybe John Cena gets it back or something. Maybe.
Nor do they need to plant seeds for that. I mean, right now it should all be about Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. So this should be the celebration of how fucking amazing Brock Lesnar is and how nobody's ever going to beat him. So when somebody does, they've conquered the conqueror, to quote Wago's article that I posted on SmartGout Moment earlier. It'll be interesting to see, though. And whether or not he's the champion going into Royal Rumble, or I highly doubt SummerSlam next year, they're doing a lot of good things right now in WWE. So next year is going to be... At the very least, it has the potential to be awesome.
I'm going to flip the script a little bit of what people are saying. Everyone thinks Brock, well, not everyone, I guess, apparently, since you don't think of it. I guess it's not everyone anyway, but a lot of people are thinking Brock holds us to WrestleMania and faces Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And I think that would be fine. I'd be perfectly okay with that. But what I would kind of like to see, we go into Royal Rumble. Our big match for the Royal Rumble, Brock Lesnar versus The Rock. That is a huge matchup that you could have on there. I would have The Rock beat him. I would have The Rock beat Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble and then have Roman Reigns still win that Royal Rumble, setting up Roman versus The Rock at WrestleMania.
I have there's no fucking thing that you can sell me on for Rock versus Brock. And they've been saying this for years that they want to do this. And every time that they've said it, I've just had this pit in my stomach of, I don't want to say it. I don't care about Rock and Brock. Or Pop Rock, or Brock and Misty, or any of that kind of stuff. If that's the big thing that they're trying to build towards over these past few years, and they just can't get it done, I hope they never get it done. I don't want to see two people that are the part-timers take the actual top spot. Now, Rock is good, and Brock has his good things as well, but between the two of them, if you can split them up and have them face two other people, you get something out of it. But if you have Rock versus Brock and you build 3 months worth of a build-up for that for WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or whatever like that, and then they leave afterward, then you have to just start all over again. It's kind of like putting all your eggs in one basket, dumping the whole basket out, and then being like, all right, well, now what do I fucking do? You know what I mean?
Creepers Under Radar's in the chat room saying Rock would die within 5 minutes cardio-wise. Listen, Brock Lesnar wouldn't last too much longer himself after what we saw last night.
That's true.
Brock, I don't think I've ever seen a man sweat quite as profusely in a match like that.
Unless he's Mark Henry.
Unless he's Mark Henry or Lawrence Taylor or something like that.
There we go. What we should do is we should have had Bash at the Beach, and you could have had Mark Henry versus Brock Lesnar. And just set up a pool around them, and 2 minutes into the match, they would fill it up.
And then Bo Dallas can come in and drench himself in the pool. Is what he likes to do. We had a question that I pulled out. You already kind of answered, though. Creepers Under Radar is asking if we're going to be going to SummerSlam. I'm definitely going to try, depending on where the venue is. If it's at Madison Square Garden, I wouldn't be as optimistic because seats are going to be limited and they're probably going to be really, really expensive. I would still try, but it would probably be tougher. If it's at something like MetLife, seats will be easy to get. There will be tons of seats. And if they're announcing it this far in advance, I imagine they would put the tickets on sale well in advance too. Ideally, where would you like to see it at, Tony? What venue do you think would be the best to try to have this at next year? Is it time to try to bring SummerSlam to the next level? I mean, they've already been scaling SummerSlam back this year. They cut out access. So are they going to try to go back next year and bring SummerSlam back with a vengeance, or what would you think is the best course of action?
It never hurts to try to make something bigger than what it was before. Money in the Bank ended up graduating into a pay-per-view. Elimination Chamber is the step up from a cage match. SummerSlam could be that number two pay-per-view. And I hate to bring up a comparison with TNA, but TNA's got this thing going on where, or at least they do for now, where Slammiversary and Bound for Glory are their two biggest pay-per-views of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to tell which one is the biggest one, although they claim that it's Bound for Glory. But Slammiversary feels special enough on its own that that's really their number two. That's their SummerSlam, sort of. WWE's been falling short of that over the years, and SummerSlam's just kind of been a slight step up from a B pay-per-view that sometimes is coincidentally filled with a couple of big matches. And the same sort of happens with Survivor Series, but even to a lesser extent. Everybody knows that Royal Rumble is the true number two instead of SummerSlam. So why not try to give Royal Rumble a little bit of a run for its money? Make SummerSlam important enough for Madison Square Garden. Maybe I wouldn't be able to see it, and that would suck. But, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. So you put SummerSlam in Madison Square Garden, it's going to feel a hell of a lot more important than Izod Center.
And they're not doing WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden anymore. So, you know, why not bring one of the other shows, have a tradition there? You know, yeah, I get what they tried to do with having SummerSlam in Los Angeles. You know, it's summer. We're at the beachy area of California. You have all the celebrities involved because it's Los Angeles. But enough is enough. It's time to shake it up. And New York is, in my opinion, the hottest wrestling area that you can be in. And, of course, it's the home for the WWE.
Definitely.
We got another caller on the line. Let's bring him on. We got a caller from the 540 area code. You are live on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. 540, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, 540.
John Groves from Front Royal, Virginia.
John Groves, what's up, man? Yep, I can hear you, man. What do you think about Raw tonight? Yep.
Raw was very good. Raw was very awesome. Rollins versus Ambrose, that stole the show. That was a pretty great match. I didn't like the ending, though, but it was pretty. But Rollins versus Ambrose kind of stole the show for me. I'm thinking this authority angle's going to be out of line here soon. I think the authority angle needs to end very soon.
And who would you like to see end it? Because obviously this can't just dissolve on its own. There's got to be some strong force that goes against it. You know, they have their problems with Roman Reigns. They have their problems with John Cena. Of course, they still have Daniel Bryan waiting in the background. Brie Bella, obviously. Who knows who else might get involved? Who would you like to see be the big challenger that finally quells the authority and brings them down?
As much as I'd like to say this, I know WWE's been in contact with Sting, so I do believe Sting could be the guy that could be standing up to the authority.
Would you see him doing that in a wrestling capacity or as some kind of power guy where he comes in, makes the right friends, and eventually takes over in that sort of political sense?
As much as I like to say, not wrestling-wise, but you hit the nail on the head. Power. the power. And forgive me, some people, when I'm on the phone, they say I sound like a girl, but I'm really not a girl. I'm a guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to set the record straight on this one. Yeah, I think Sting, from a personal level, might not be wrestling capacity-wise, but he could have like a on-screen authority role against the authority.
Who would you think that he would have be his surrogate? I mean, Sting doesn't exactly have a whole flock of friends. Who would you like to see him align with in that, if that was the case to happen?
Roman Reigns.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Also, who is Brock? Who could Brock face at Night of Champions? I mean, there's a lot of potential guys who would like to face Brock for the title, but I'm wondering if John Cena could cash in his rematch.
I would definitely expect that to be the plan for Night of Champions. Moving forward from Night of Champions, who faces Brock Lesnar? We were just talking about that a little bit before. I don't have a clue. They don't really have anyone at that level, that size, that intensity that I think is going to go in there and face Brock Lesnar and be a believable threat to Brock Lesnar, especially when he's on top of the world as the World Heavyweight Champion. Brock Lesnar is just way too much of a beast, way too much of a badass. There's really no one else on his level.
Those suplexes last night at SummerSlam, they were definitely brutal. Me and my cousin watched this on the network, seeing all those 16 suplexes. I was like, oh my goodness, he's just killing Cena out there.
Very mixed opinions, but I don't think it's anyone that's going to be able to argue that Brock Lesnar dominated throughout that entire match. I don't think we've ever seen John Cena fall like that. In your opinion, do you think this harmed the John Cena character? Do you a lot of people complain that John Cena was quote-unquote buried, which I can't believe that. I mean, John Cena is one of the biggest stars of all time. I think it just speaks to the level of badassery that Brock Lesnar has. Good.
No question about that. John Cena, man, he's done it all. He's beaten everyone on that list. He has to fall. Triple H, The Rock, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar. But last night, Brock took the fight to Cena, and Cena had to know that Brock was in the toughest fight. That he was in the toughest fight of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And this matchup was pretty one-sided. I can't argue with the announcer saying that. I can't argue with everyone saying, oh, it was a one-sided match. But who cares, you know? Cena did everything he could. He beat him with one AA, but it wasn't enough. Brock had the early start by gaining the F5 on Cena. Cena kicked out, and then Brock just went berserk on Cena. I never, in all my 14 years, watched wrestling see Cena take a pounding like that, from what I understand.
No, I cannot remember in the history of John Cena. It's very similar, I think, to the first time we saw Hulk Hogan get manhandled by Brock Lesnar. When he had that bear hug on him, you just saw Hogan tossed around like a rag doll. When have you seen Hogan? Even though Hogan was already old by that point.
I saw that match. I definitely saw that match. I was 11 years old when I saw that match. I was like, oh, man, he's really killing Hogan. And yeah, that was kind of pretty one-sided to me, the way Brock beat on Cena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't compare, you know, but so I can't compare, really, that we could see a big match between Lesnar and Reigns for the title at Mania, or Lesnar versus Bryan at Survivor Series. Oh, no. Actually, if I were Vince, I would give Daniel Bryan some time off because of that surgery and let him come back at the Royal Rumble and let Paul Heyman be the voice of authority and say, you know, my client Brock Lesnar will beat you at WrestleMania. But then again, I'm still thinking the fact that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar could be the match at WrestleMania, because everybody would definitely pay money to see that match.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. All right, John, we got one last thing I want to ask you. We always like to wrap up our calls with this. What was your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw? Meaning, what was your favorite part of it, and what was your least favorite part of the show?
My favorite part would have to be Rollins with that butt with Ambrose spraying that bucket on Rollins. The Heyman promo, very epic. Should have just given Brock the mic. They should have given him some mic time. to talk, but that didn't work out that way. And the least favorite part, I think, the Usos, Nikki Bella slapping Brie Bella around.
Mm.
I mean,
lots of drama.
Yeah, Nikki and Brie, I can tell this is definitely going to happen, because they've got a lot of star power in the Authority. You've got Rock, you've got Ambrose, you've got Kane, you've got Triple H, you've got Orton, you've got Stephanie, and now you've got Nikki Bella, Paul Heyman, and Brock Lesnar all put together.
Absolutely. Yeah. John, thanks so much for calling in, man. Have a good night, man. Thanks for calling in. Feel free to call in another week, man. Another caller here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. We love hearing your guys' opinions. We still got a little bit of time left, so if you want to dial in, get your opinion heard on the show. Area code 760-512-7247 will get you in line, or use the Skype icon at the top of the page. And, of course, the chat room still rolling along with Creepers on the Radar. Ferris419, our very own Mysticata, representing the Drew Crew and the Mega Powers Radio panel. Still lots of guests. Hey, if you're listening in, don't be a stranger. Get yourself registered with blogtalkradio.com. Scroll on down below the player, and you will see a little chat room there where you can chat on with the rest of the Mega Maniacs and also us. We're in there as well. Two conversations going on at once. Tony, bringing it back to you and me, man, we really haven't actually dug too far into the actual show that went on tonight. We found other topics to go on about, which is probably for the best. I mean, there's a lot of news going on in the wrestling world right now, especially coming out of that event last night. But unfortunately, this Raw is just leaving us wanting more, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had our Divas match of the night between Natalya and Paige. Natalya coming out with a little bit of a different outfit. She's wearing shorts, and I think it looks fine on her. It's not too big of a difference. It's not like she has the nicest legs in the world, but it's not like they're hideous either. She looks fine. Good new look for her, I suppose. The match ends when AJ Lee comes out skipping around the ring, causing the distraction roll-up on Paige. AJ Lee follows up the match by taking the mic in her hand, saying she's going to dedicate her life to Paige, and then scaring her out of the ring. It's freaking distraction roll-up, waste of a segment, pretty much. I guess we're going to continue having this AJ Lee Paige feud go on another month. I can only assume it's just so Paige can get a dominant second victory, keeping that title and going forward. I can't imagine they're going to hot potato this title around. Tony, are you excited for another match between these two? I know you weren't a big fan of their first one, but after their second one and the things that have changed with their characters and whatnot like that, are you okay seeing this one go for another month? And could they have done better with the follow-up on tonight's show?
I'm going to be a little bit more honest about this than Christian. I only want to see one more match. I don't want any more than that. We're not going to keep repeating that after Night of Champions. But one more match would be good, and then they can call it quits. And I don't know who they can start feuding with afterward. I don't know if AJ will want to take part. Yeah, yeah, apparently Eva Marie's going to be the next big thing. They haven't done anything with Summer Rae in a while. I kind of thought that maybe she would be at a good point by now. That,
oh yeah, whatever happened to the Slayers?
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with that. It doesn't seem like it's much. So maybe they'll pick up more steam. Maybe they'll be baby faces or something like that. Maybe AJ will start feuding with somebody else and we'll keep up this trend of having like two Divas matches per show, which I really kind of hope doesn't happen. Or maybe by that time, they'll be done with the Nikki and Brie stuff. And Brie will be the new challenger. They seem to be putting a lot of stock on her. I don't know. But
goodness gracious.
I kind of felt bad for Natalya tonight. She seemed like she got this new top that showed off her cleavage. And she got these shorts. Like, there's some kind of crisis backstage. And she's like, I want to be cute too.
Even though she was supposed to be like that anti-diva not too long ago.
Right, like everybody's mom on Total Divas and everything. But, you know, these kind of segments are, you know, how much really can you dive into? It's AJ Lee comes out and looks cute. Paige loses from a roll-up. Natalya runs away to make sure that she's not there when they're doing that promo at the end, because you can't have the people that aren't the focal point still be hanging around, can you? It's like WWE rule number one. As soon as you lose, you roll out to the outside and crawl away like a fucking child. One more match, then we can call it quits.
We had Triple H and Stephanie McMahon out to the ring to present the new WWE World Heavyweight title. We were talking about it a little bit before. Essentially, it's the same as one we had before, just they put the sleeker new WWE Network logo on it. They invite out Brock Lesnar. They pose for photo opportunities to every corner of the ring, which I thought was cheesy and fun in sort of a way. I thought it was a cool little effect they had. Paul Heyman takes the mic. He repeats himself a lot throughout this, and I think it had a good effect. There is a good way you can use repetition, and I think Paul Heyman is a master of that kind of thing. He's a master speaker, and Paul Heyman just nailed it again, showing that this team is excellent, and I think it's great to see the world title on this team. To have Brock Lesnar stand there just looking like a complete brute, a complete badass, as Paul Heyman just spouts off all the reasons why Brock Lesnar is the man. Excellent team. Tony, what'd you think about this segment and the presentation of the new title for Brock Lesnar?
Well, we already talked about how there's certain things with the title that could be a little bit better, so we don't really need to go into that. But the segment itself, it did exactly what it was supposed to do. I mean, Paul Heyman, he can get too repetitious sometimes, and it can get a little tiresome and annoying, especially, you know, when other people start repeating it, like the whole Paul Riss thing. But I found that kind of funny tonight, him doing all the suplexes and everything like that, because it's exactly what happened during the match. So it was like, why not cut a promo that was just like the match? Suplex after suplex after suplex after suplex after suplex. I don't want to see him do this every week. He can cut himself a little bit shorter than that. But Paul Heyman is the reason why this works. It's the reason why the CM Punk title feuds had worked when he was the champion. He is exactly why Brock Lesnar isn't a fucking bore. By the way, Brock Lesnar did something I thought was funny. When Heyman said the whole Brock Lesnar thing, he laughed and said, I love when you do that. Do it again. And he just repeated himself, and he had this look on his face like, I just thought that was fucking funny. That's a clear and obvious situation where, since they're good friends in real life, that was just them coming out and just being like, that's funny when you do that, Paul. Like that Paul, say something stupid line. Like,
yeah. It's very odd how those two have gravitated towards each other and made this relationship. I mean, when you look at those guys on paper separate, who would have thought those two would have meshed so well? Not just on a professional level, but on a personal level, too. Very similar to Stone Cold and JR.
Yeah, I can see it, though, because you might think of it as kind of like the jock with the nerd, but Paul Heyman's not the nerd. Paul Heyman is that weird guy that would hang around with the jocks. He was like the popular by proxy type of person, that arrogant little prick that like could have become like a cop or something. You know what I mean? Like the Danny DeVito's and Joe Pesci's of the world.
Oh yes.
So he's got like big tough Brock Lesnar, who's like his friend since, you know, they grew up together. They're like next door neighbors or some shit like that. And then it's sort of a of Mice and Men kind of a thing.
All right, well, we had a rematch from last night for the Intercontinental title match, only this time Dolph Ziggler came out as the champion to defend it against The Miz. They had a fine match. It went a good amount of time. Ziggler, though, ended up getting counted out at the end. Miz goes to continue attacking him, but Ziggler hits the zigzag. Successful defense for Ziggler. Presumably, this would just put Miz out of the way so Ziggler can keep moving on as the Intercontinental champion. Tony, fantasy league things aside, I know you were also a fan of The Miz and what's been going on for him lately. It was a really big thing for him to have won the Intercontinental title Battle Royal last month, but to only lose it a month later to the guy that I think a lot of people also felt should have won that Battle Royal. Was that just a waste of the last month? And where's this all going to go going forward?
Man, I don't know. I really liked the idea of The Miz as the champion. Now, I love Dolph Ziggler. He's one of my absolute favorites, top five on the roster today, top five over the past few years even. But I don't know what they could do with this, because my original idea that I've been wanting to see for the longest time is I already established Night of Champions blows now, so why not just merge that United States Championship with the Intercontinental? And I thought that The Miz was going to be the one to do it. They had been teasing this idea that Sheamus was going to feud with The Miz because of the whole moneymaker, don't kick me in the face thing. And they just dropped that. I mean, they've got this habit the past month and a half of just dropping things. They dropped Cesaro. They dropped this Nation Stable.
They do that in the summer. I mean, the summer is a time of experimentation, and they see what sticks to the wall.
Yeah, but it's also detrimental because then it prevents some of these storylines from ever happening because they said, well, we tried that before and it didn't work. And you didn't really try it. All you did was kind of cast a line out there and then immediately reeled it back and said, well, I went fishing and I didn't catch anything. That's a good analogy. Holy shit.
That's actually a really good analogy.
Good job, subconscious. so the problem that I could see with this is Dolph Ziggler and The Miz are both two people that could really go with the Intercontinental title. And I don't think that they're going to be sticking to them that long. I'm fine with either of them as a champion, and I'd like to see them feud a lot longer because I think that they have good chemistry together, and it's not just the promos, it's in the ring too. Maybe because they're kind of like friends. They're not like, you know, Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler kind of friends, but they do have some kind of connections and some kind of bonds and similarities and all that kind of stuff. So I think that they could be a really, really solid feud. There's really no connection that if you saw the four of these guys, you would go, oh yeah, I completely agree. But what I can see these two being is sort of the equivalent of Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett when they feuded for the Intercontinental title. They feuded for a long time. They traded it back and forth. I'd like to see that happen with these two. Go on for, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. You can throw other people into the mix too, like your RVDs and your – I was going to say the Alberto Del Rios. You can't do that anymore. you know, maybe even Sheamus, maybe Jack Swagger. You know, you can mix people up here and there, but I think that you can make this a real solid feud for the two of them that goes on for a long time.
You know, speaking of Del Rio, things are getting pretty heated with that. You've been keeping up with this?
A little bit. I had a chance to talk to Brodus Clay the other day.
What? And was he at Monster Mania?
Yeah, Monster Mania. I talked to Brodus and Hacksaw, but I didn't talk to Hacksaw about the Del Rio thing. I talked to Brodus about that, and he was saying how Del Rio is like a sweetheart, and he wouldn't do that unless he was really, really provoked. So I didn't really we couldn't really talk about too much because obviously he wasn't there, but he said that he didn't believe that this was just kind of like Alberto Del Rio acting like a dick, that he had to have been really provoked. So if that's the case, and it kind of seems like that could happen. I mean, if somebody's making a racial remark like that, you're going to get a little bit upset about it. Some people more than others. You can make a white person joke at me. I'm not going to care, or, you know, make fun of me because I look Italian. Yeah, I do. You know what? And I talk with my hands. It happens. But, some people really get offended by that kind of stuff, and sometimes that becomes something that they'll go out of their way to go to different limits that they're not used to doing. And maybe Del Rio hit his limit with that. So if that's the case, he probably has every right to be lashing out and talking about it at different media junctions and being like, you know what, fucking racism. You know what I mean? I probably would be doing the same in his case.
I'm sure Del Rio was at a point where he also was seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. He was getting frustrated. He knew that he didn't have much left to favor him there. And if this particular altercation had happened a year previously, maybe he would have shrugged it off. But because it was at that moment, it was just enough to send him over the edge. And that was just the end when that all came together. But the deal that went down is, of course, like a lot of wrestlers, when they leave their contracts at WWE, they have a no-compete clause. Well, Del Rio decided to just kind of ignore that and appeared at a AAA event. But my understanding is because he breached that contract, he is now not allowed to appear in the United States for one full year, and he has also forfeited any future royalty checks from the WWE.
Ouch.
Yeah, how big is that? And I'm pretty sure he's going to be in WWE 2K15, too.
Fuck, man, was it really that worth it to go to that AAA event?
It was a pride thing, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's true, and pride can get the best of us all, but damn, that sucks.
So
the royalty checks alone.
Really high tensions between Del Rio and WWE, between him and CM Punk. Not a lot of good exits happening from WWE this year.
No, and maybe that's on WWE's fault.
It's questionable. I mean, whenever you have a changing of the guard, there's always going to be separations. And I think that's something we might be experiencing. You know, maybe these are some guys who just not are gelling with some of the new things that are going on, some of the new people coming up, some of the people Triple H might be instilling into certain offices. Who knows?
Which, by the way, as much as I criticize Triple H for doing certain things and putting himself over for all those years, he's been doing a damn good job.
Oh, he's been doing absolutely fantastic, man. I love pretty much every initiative that he's been instilling. A lot of the people that he's signed haven't all worked out, but most of them have, especially more of the more recent ones. I think these are going to be great, great pickups for the company. Just the whole NXT and Performance Center concept, just putting all that together is going to be one of the greatest things to happen in wrestling in decades. And that's all his dream child. And maybe it's right, not, you know, maybe this is a product of him having conversations with lots of guys, but regardless, he's the guy who signed the papers to get that going into action.
And the people like Sin Cara, you can't really blame that on Triple H. Sin Cara needed to put in the effort.
Sin Cara should have been a big deal.
Force him to get Rosetta Stone, you know?
All right, so let's dial this back into Raw here. We had a backstage promo where Renee Young was interviewing Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger on his own after Zeb Coulter being attacked by Rusev last night. And I gotta say, Jack Swagger didn't do too bad. And another example of good repetition where Jack Swagger would say some type of triumphant thing that represents America and then says, "That's we the people." And then another thing, and then, "That's we the people." I thought it was cool. I thought it was compelling, and it was still very fitting for Jack Swagger's character. We were worried what was going to happen with Swagger after this whole thing with Rusev went down, and it's looking like that's it. It was a two-month program, and they're both moving on to other things, Rusev with Henry, and, well, we'll talk about Swagger in a second. He had a matchup with Cesaro tonight, same guy he faced last week, got the victory over last week, but this week, Cesaro surprisingly getting the win, first win that Cesaro's had in a long time. Unfortunately, we had to hear his even worse version of his goddamn theme music with like the ambulance siren now. Sounds freaking awful. Cesaro, though, leaves the ring after his victory, and who should come out to greet Jack Swagger but Bo Dallas. Thank goodness they didn't completely lose faith in Bo Dallas, because we hadn't seen him for a little bit after that loss to R-Truth. I was wondering what the heck was going on. They're continuing to give him something to do. He came out, spoke to Jack Swagger, telling him that he can get everything back that he's lost if he just Bo leaves. So it looks like our program going on, at least for the immediate future, Jack Swagger and Bo Dallas. Is this something that's going to get you into there? I mean, are these two people that are going to gel with each other? Can we pull this real American shtick against a guy that's a self-motivator, or is just not going to make any sense and something that's going to be rushed to go past?
Yeah, I have no idea how that's going to make any sense. Bo Dallas is an anti-American. So what is it going to be like? The American people don't.
He looks kind of like an alien.
That's true. I mean, if Bo Dallas is all about Bo leaving and, you know, inspirational, and Jack Swagger is, the American people get back up when they're knocked down, they should practically be a tag team more than a feud, shouldn't they?
You know, after this match between Swagger and Cesaro, there was a period where they were kind of looking at each other, and it was actually prolonged, and I was like, well, what's going on here? And I was actually thinking for a moment maybe they would reunite them. Like, maybe they both have been, like, kind of down on their luck since they went singles-wise. And it's like, yo, why don't we get back together and get the band back together? That would have been fantastic. I would have loved to have seen that tag team come back together right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the idea of Cesaro and the Real Americans in the first place.
No, but they don't have to be the Real Americans this time. Yeah, they could just be Jack Swagger and Cesaro. You know, they wrote Zeb out. I'm sure he'll be back soon, but they could use it as an excuse to have him out for a couple months, and then when he comes back, and do whatever.
But then they got to drop the We the People shtick, and they got to drop the... Well, they don't have to, but they pretty much should drop the theme song. I think if you're going to do that, you might as well just give Jack Swagger a different tag team partner instead. I've been saying for a while, somebody like a Sawyer Fulton or something.
Well, hopefully the end result of this is to give Bo Dallas a bigger rub. I mean, he hasn't actually had a true feud with a star yet. Jack Swagger is a former World Heavyweight Champion. He just came out of what was a pretty fun story with Rusev, who is a big star on the rise. So hopefully this will mean good things for Bo Dallas.
Hopefully.
We had a six-man tag team match with Rybacksel and Randy Orton go against Sheamus, Rob Van Dam, and Roman Reigns. The biggest note I have out of this match is at one point during it, the crowd just randomly started chanting for Ryback. And not just once, but like they kept it going for a while. They were doing Ryback Rules, Feed Me More. During, like, you wouldn't even see Ryback on the screen. Like, I think there was a point where it was like Randy Orton and Sheamus were fighting outside of the ring by the announcer's desk, and they just wouldn't stop chanting Feed Me More.
Yeah, then Randy Orton had this great look on his face of like, you really fucking want Ryback? Here you go.
You sure this is what you want? I think Ryback is from Las Vegas. I think they always introduce him as Sin City. So I assume that's Las Vegas.
That's true.
Which is weird. I mean, it's not really one of those things you would think like Ryback would get the big hometown pop, but yep, there he goes. Rob Van Dam gets the win for his team after a 5-star frog splash. This was just fine. This is your typical Raw 6-man tag match. Nothing particularly special besides the crowd chanting for it, which is worth seeing. If you haven't seen this matchup, I would just look for the video just to check out this part where this crowd is chanting for Ryback. Just another one of those anomalies that the crowds have been creating lately. And this one was a little special, a little bit fun. It wasn't your typical thing where they just keep chanting Michael Cole and JBL. It was a little different. What'd you think about this, Tony?
That actually ended up making it entertaining, because if they would have just done that, you know, the Randy Savage and the JBL and all that, we've seen that a million times. I don't care anymore. It's not funny. But chanting for Ryback and getting so super into Ryback and everything, and then being able to see the guys in the ring just sort of laugh it off and everything. I mean, it's kind of like when you watch Saturday Night Live and they fuck up and start laughing. It makes this segment funnier. So it made this one more entertaining. And it helped it stop being a throwaway 6-man tag match, which we've seen a bunch of different times. We see it at, like, practically every week on Raw. So it wouldn't have had anything to differentiate itself if it wouldn't have had that. So I liked it. I liked how strong Roman Reigns looked here.
Mm.
Didn't really give a shit that that Sheamus and RVD looked strong.
Isn't that kind of weird that Rob Van Dam, of all people, got the pin in the match?
And then he won last night at SummerSlam, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's supposed to be taking time off, like, what's the point? Not quite sure what they're doing there.
I mean, you can't have Rob Van Dam lose all of his matches, but still, in a match like this, he could have been on the winning side. I don't think it would have made all that much of a difference. Creepers Under Radars in the chat room talking about Ryback and the fans cheering for him, saying, I think he's finally earned their respect. And, you know, I don't think he's completely wrong. I remember even a match we saw a few weeks ago. I don't remember who it was exactly. I'm assuming it was against Stardust and Goldust. But there was a point where he gets in the ring and he's doing that Feed Me More thing. And the fans were really chanting along with him and getting behind it. Like, I think people still kind of like Ryback. And I think there's still a potential for them to do something with him eventually whenever this Ryback-Axel thing runs their course. Or even with Ryback-Axel itself. I think Ryback-Axel can be contenders for a tag title at some point. But do you think that Ryback is just going to be stuck in tag team hell and then eventually be on the Future Endeavor list? Or do you think that this is a sign that there still is hope for a guy like Ryback?
There is definitely still hope, but I'm not too optimistic that WWE will care. I think that they'll just see him as a write-off, that maybe some people are still going to like him, okay, but we still can't bank on him. And screw it, we don't give a shit. So we've seen people that have been more popular than Ryback that have gotten nowhere, which is a shame.
It's true. Very true. Very true. I could compare him easily to a guy like Ahmed Johnson.
Ahmed. Haven't heard that name in a little while.
Ric Flair was in the house tonight. Apparently he was in more than one segment. I only saw him in one where he approached Randy Orton after this match. Randy Orton was icing his neck, and he basically was told that you might want to avoid me, Rick, because you're going to find out why they used to call me the Legend Killer, whatever the heck that all means. Why was Ric Flair there tonight? Was it just to show up and go woo, or do you think this is part of a bigger picture?
I was hoping that it would be the tie-in of Ziggler and Miz, because they showed them backstage. Mm. And maybe they would give the figure four to Dolph Ziggler because Miz doesn't know how to do it right. But
he's done it good the past couple nights.
Yeah, he has improved. I'll give him that. And I am a supporter of The Miz, so it's not like I'm just shitting on him because he's The Miz. But I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see Randy Orton doing some kind of thing with Ric Flair. And we've seen the two of them interact with each other multiple times in the past, but the optimist in me for this is hoping that it was just the fact that they're friends, and they just said, like, why don't we have a little backstage segment with the two of you? Maybe, like, they want Orton to seem like he's going to get back on track and he's going to be more vicious than ever, which they do like every 6 months or whatever. But, you know, okay, well, why don't we, if we're going to do that kind of a segment, why don't we use Rick? Cause he's already here. You know what I mean?
Mm.
No, I don't think there's going to be that much to it.
Yeah. I have a feeling this is just because he was around. It's just getting an appearance out of the legend, just like having Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam last night. I have no purpose to him being there whatsoever than just to come out and shill the network. That's all you're going to do with Hulk Hogan. That's whatever. It's not that deep, I guess. We had a tag team match between the champions, the Usos, and Goldust and Stardust. Don't really have any notes in this except that Stardust gets the win with a victory roll of all moves, but this obviously makes them favorites to be the next contenders. And they've been talking this whole time about the Cosmic Key, and I think it's easy to infer that they were talking about the tag team titles. This looks like what we're probably going to have going into Night of Champions, which is interesting because this is two babyface teams. Can they make this work? I mean, I'm always of the idea that you can make two babyfaces go against you. It doesn't have to be a babyface and a heel. It could be a babyface and a babyface, or even be a heel and a heel and still be a compelling matchup. Just got to be done right. Do you think these guys are professionals enough to handle that? Are you interested in this at all? I know you've been very down on the whole Stardust character change. What are you looking into this?
I don't know if they can just do these two teams together, especially after wasting so much time with Stardust and Goldust, because now nobody gives a shit. The first week, everybody went nuts over Stardust because it was just like, what the fuck is this? Holy shit, this is funny. Now Stardust has been popping around for 2 months or something, 3 months maybe even, and all they've been doing is some backstage promos about nonsense. And I already watched the Wyatt family. I already know about nonsense. So I don't need to see just these two teams. I want to see multiple teams together. Take advantage of it. Have Rybacksel involved. Have fucking Big Show and Mark Henry involved. Have Slater Gator. Have the Harper and Rowan tag team. Make it a big fucking turmoil match or something like that. And give it a lot of time, too, because Night of Champions could use a big match of just like, let's feature the tag division. It's Night of Champions. Don't throw it off on the side. Don't do some pre-show match or something.
Our main of actually, we got one more segment I should talk about here. We had Rusev out doing their usual stick, him and Lana. He's interrupted by Mark Henry, of all people, which again confirms that the Jack Swagger and Rusev story is done. Mark Henry looks like he's the next challenger for Rusev. Mark Henry basically just comes out saying this is the same American shtick that every single guy who's faced Rusev has done before. I'm an American. I'm proud of it. I don't like seeing you coming around here showing off your Russian flag. So I'm going to fight you in a match. Mark Henry, I don't know how they got to it, but eventually Mark Henry hits him with a World's Strongest Slam. And that looks like our story going forward. Tony, can Mark Henry bring Rusev to the next level?
No.
No. I didn't think so either. No. Is there anything more to say about this, or is this just really something we're just going to have to sit back and deal with, I guess?
Yeah, this is just going to be some kind of a throwaway match at Night of Champions, and that's it. And nobody's going to give a shit. It's not going to help Rusev out. Certainly not going to help out Mark Henry by losing. You know, Rusev is bland as fuck. He needs really interesting people to feud with. The Jack Swagger feud was interesting, and they made the whole thing just about Rusev continues to dominate. So you're going to see a big step down, I think, from the Rusev and Swagger feud. And WWE is either going to blame it on Mark Henry, or they're just going to stick their fingers in their ears and be like, la, 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 we like fucking Rusev, I don't give a shit, and do their normal shit where they continue to have him win, and he wins, and he wins, and he wins, and then he loses to somebody like a John Cena and or a Roman Reigns. And then everybody makes a big deal about it in fucking WWE, but nobody really gives a shit from the fans' perspective. And then Rusev just becomes a jobber. It happened with Kozlov, it happened with Kali, it happened with fucking Bam Neely bullshit people. You know, it's pointless. They're killing Rusev by making him win.
You know... Creepers Under Radar is saying to me, I don't know if this is true, but this just continues the whole thing about Rusev being a racist. Remember that was like the running gag for a while? Like he just came out and squashed all the black guys on the roster.
Yeah,
he moved away for a little bit, but now he's back to that. You know, he forgot he's got one more to deal with.
What, did he end up wrestling Titus O'Neil yet?
I'm pretty
sure he probably squashed him at some point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I kind of imagine that's someone he faced along the way. Our main event tonight actually had a setup earlier in the night where Seth Rollins was doing an interview with Renee Young. Suddenly, Seth has a bucket of ice water poured over him, of course, in line with the ice bucket challenge that's becoming a viral hit all over the internet. I actually helped someone do one of those today. I poured the bucket over him, so I got to partake in my first one. Luckily, not pouring it on myself. Nobody nominate me. I will hate you forever if you do that. Please, please.
I got nominated and I'm not doing it.
Oh, you should at least donate, not, you jerk.
It's not because I don't support the idea of donating to a charity and stuff like that. It's that it's annoying the crap out of me that people think that if you pour water over yourself, especially not even ice water, a lot of people are just pouring like a bowl of fucking warm water, and it's a real cop-out. That's not going to help. Charlie Sheen donates $10,000. That's going to help. I don't have 10 grand to donate. But a bunch of jackasses from New Jersey or from Idaho or wherever the fuck you're from all send messages to their buddies about pouring the stuff over themselves. That's not going to cure a disease. So
yes and no. I mean, there's an argument to be made about awareness. We can go back and forth on that, but maybe that person directly isn't giving anything or they're not donating whatever, but they're nominating other people who in turn are nominating more people and more. You know how a web works. Somewhere in that web, someone is going to probably be donating. So in a way it is help. And you know, it's just harmless. It's a little annoying. It's clogging all of our news feeds. It's not that deep. I think a lot of people are overreacting.
Something I'm also finding funny about it is the people that don't even know what it's about and they're calling ASL.
Mm-hmm.
You seen this?
Yeah.
The ASL, Cancer Foundation or something. So I gotta dump some water, ice, or something on myself, or dump in a pool, or whatever the fuck it is. But I did like this segment, though. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Oh, well, go back to that. I didn't even, like, complete it. Seth gets the bucket of water dumped on him. You don't see who it is at first, but then it shows it's Dean Ambrose is the culprit. Dean Ambrose just kind of looks at him for a sec and is like, what? It's for charity. And then just bumps the bucket off of his head and then continues to beat him down. This was excellent. Dean Ambrose at his Dean Ambrosiest. Seth Rollins was there. You know, I hated that new t-shirt he had. I don't like his ring gear. I'm sorry to be such a hater on Seth Rollins, but he just makes it so easy.
Well, you know what the big problem here is?
What's that?
Everybody knows that cats hate getting wet. It's a cold night out there. I mean, he doesn't have central heating in his cardboard box. So.
Oh, hell, this is probably the first shower that Seth has had in fucking years. Now we just got to put him in a suit. Maybe we can get him a real job. It's great. It's good taking care of the homeless.
I love this running gag.
So we actually ended up getting a rematch from their match last night, which, by the way, was a fantastic match for a lumberjack match. Way better than any lumberjack match had credit to be. Like, so surprised these guys would pull that out. And again, these guys got a stipulation that would be chosen by the fans. First time we've had a fan vote with the WWE app in quite some time. Kind of glad they busted it out again. Except the choices they gave us were bogus. It was like a no DQ match, a no holds barred match, and a falls count anywhere match, which all are essentially the same thing. I'm pretty sure this booked ending would have been the same regardless of which one they chose.
Right. But at least the falls count anywhere was the one chosen, because that is actually different from the other two. The other two are exactly the same.
Well, the sad thing is it wasn't even like chosen that decidedly. It had like 41%, and I think like no holds barred had like 34-something%.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like telling somebody, do you want to have a last man standing match? Do you want to have a no DQ match? Or do you want to have a street fight? They're all similar. It's not a steel cage or a submission or a ladder match where then it's like, holy shit, these are three completely different matches.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kane makes his appearance known during this match, just like he did in the lumberjack match last night. He ends up interfering. He starts beating down Ambrose at a certain point, eventually revealing a bunch of concrete slabs that were underneath the timekeeper's table, which I don't know why they even have the timekeeper's table. They don't have Mark Eaton. Or maybe they're having someone pull double duty. Anyway, something not even worth getting into. And then some stupid corporate shit. Seth Rollins does the curb stomp, shoving Ambrose's face into the concrete blocks. Nasty looking spot they did there. They had to stop the match. The ref calls the match, declares Seth Rollins the winner. Dean Ambrose is carted out on the stretcher to end the show. Shit. I hope this isn't some kind of write out for Ambrose for any kind of extended period of time. Seth Rollins, they're doing what they can to try to make him look like a force to be reckoned with. I'm just still not buying it. I'm really not. That curb stomp is a sick move. I'll give him that. That always looks sick nasty whenever he does it. But aside from that, I really hope they end up taking that briefcase and putting on Ambrose, because Ambrose has won me over a lot over these last few weeks, and I've been seeing it happen for a lot of people too. I think he's the person who's progressed the most since the Shield breakup, but I still think Rollins is the potential biggest star of the future. But it's hard to admit any other way that Ambrose has been making the most moves since that split. What do you think, Tony? Do you think Ambrose has got the chops? Do you think this match held up to what it needed to be tonight? What'd you think about everything going on?
You mean that Reigns is still the person you think is going to be the top?
Yes. Is that, what did I say?
You said Rollins, just to clarify.
Oh,
that.
No, fuck Rollins. No, I meant Reigns.
I don't know if I want to give it to Ambrose. I don't think that he necessarily needs it. Although I'd be fine with him taking it, because that would be interesting. Rollins is doing good. Ambrose is doing better. That's the best way I could put it. I don't have any real complaints about Rollins. And I definitely don't have any complaints about Ambrose. And Reigns is doing fantastic on his own, too. He's really progressed a lot, too. This better not be a write out, because, man, fucking Night of Champions can't survive on matches like the Bella Twins against each other and Mark Henry and Rusev, and a rematch of some of the other people, or, you know, we're going to throw a Sheamus match on the card or something like that. We need to have another Ambrose and Rollins match. And I don't know what they can do for that, because they can't really do like a concrete slab match or something, which is really confusing why there's a bunch of concrete slabs near the
near the bell. Isn't it ridiculous enough that we have cookie sheets and stop signs under the rings, now we just have random pieces of concrete hanging out under the timekeeper's table?
Right. Like, maybe if they would have brought to a different area of the arena, like the backstage area, there could have been a concrete slab.
Which, you know, it was a Falls Count Anywhere match, so... You know,
exactly.
Not like that would be impossible to do.
But they just happen to have that there in case Justin Roberts needs some fucking concrete in the middle of his announcement. So that was kind of stupid. And of course, it looked like it was a little bit fake to me, because, you know, he can't curb stomp him and break concrete like that. I don't like the curb stomp, by the way.
Hmm.
I think it's a decent move to throw into a match, but it's not a finisher.
Really? I mean, that kills people. I mean,
it kills people in real life, but wrestling is different. I mean, you can literally punch somebody in the head in real life and they die, but you can hit somebody in the head with a sledgehammer in wrestling and it doesn't kill them. It doesn't even hurt them. They can kick out. So a curb stomp, it's not good enough. That's something to do as like a setup for another move, or like in the middle of the match when Rollins has to pull a move out of his ass to be able to fight back. He pulled the curb stomp out of nowhere. He reversed that, you know, that kind of a move. That's not like I'm setting you up for the curb stomp and here's a little bit of a kick, you know, especially when he kicks really weird like he did the other day.
Which, by the way, another note for Dean Ambrose. Last night during his match with Seth Rollins, when he was setting up for the Dirty Deeds, he did that thing where he stood behind him and he pulled the trigger behind Seth Rollins' head. Aces. That was really cool. I hope he continues doing that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, it was really cool.
Was it like a gunshot trigger kind of thing?
Yeah, basically Seth Rollins was on his knees. Dean Ambrose gets behind him and makes the hand motion like his hand's a gun, and then like pulls the trigger right behind Seth Rollins' head and then grabbed him by it, went for Dirty Deeds.
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of morbid, but it's cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, we're seeing all this edgy stuff between you know, something like that and Paige's seductive crawling over women, which
awesome.
Totally hot, yeah. Just to point that one out there. Pull something out of the chat room here. Creepers on the radar saying, for some reason, I found it funny when Little Nate said, you took it too far.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, that was funny.
I think there was at least one new ref that was debuted last night at SummerSlam. And it was during, I think it was during the Paige-AJ match, who just would not shut up. He just kept talking and talking and talking. He's like, no, get down. Get down, AJ. Get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. Let's go. Hey, get down. And just kept talking and talking. It's like, oh my God, shut up. Yeah, you're supposed to be like the silent third person in the match, not like trying to take the spotlight off these beautiful ladies. Shut your mouth.
Hey guys, I'm wearing the stripes. I'm the referee. Guys.
Someone like me screwed Brett once. anyway, you got any other thoughts you want to throw in about Ambrose and Rollins?
No. I mean, this was one of the best matches of the night, one of the best segments of the night, because it's been one of the best feuds that's going on in WWE, and I want to see more of it.
One last comment we'll take out of here. Creep Us Under Radar saying heel Paige is awesome in the ring. No, she's always been awesome in the ring, but I agree with you. Heel Paige making big, big moves. Let's take care of the last bit of business that we do here talking about Raw. Let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show, and what we thought the most hideous part of the show was. For us, this is all personal opinion, of course, and for entertainment purposes only. This is not official. Whatever yours may be is, of course, your opinion. And, of course, if you're listening to the show, let us know what your good, bad, and ugly was in the comments, in the chat room, via Twitter, whatever is the most convenient thing for you. We love hearing what you got to say, as this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available, as always. Man, that's a lot of words to get out there. Tony, hit us up with what your good, bad, and ugly was.
Well, while I did like the one line throughout the night, "You're not an A-lister, you're just an A-hole," because I love my puns. I'm going to have to give my good to the Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins stuff. The ALS challenge segment backstage and the match. They were definitely two of the most entertaining people tonight, so giving them credit where credit's due. The bad, the implementation of the logo in some ways. I mentioned how it's a little bit too skinny and too tall, and I'm not used to it yet. So that kind of annoyed me throughout the night. And the ugly, Nikki's overreacting to everything, even losing the shoe. I don't know how the fuck that happened, but that was just an awful segment for something that could have been so much better considering how the match turned out last night, which was a lot better than expected. And Nikki just hammed it the fuck up. And every little thing was not only overreacting, but overacting as well. And I couldn't stand it. Brie didn't help at all by coming out there. Stephanie was a little bit off her game. Nikki was just like, "I've got the spotlight. Holy shit. I need to go nuts with this. I need to
my
make
God,
everything.
Fruity.
Like,
my God.
Yeah. Fruity, I'm never going to get married. Fruity, man." I didn't like that segment at all. It was a terrible way to start off this whole night. And it really, I think, hurt my perceptive of the whole show. Because you start off with something that's a little bit annoying, and I'm already in a bad mood. Not a horrible mood. It didn't ruin my entire day. But, you know, I didn't start off this with the Brock Lesnar that I wanted to and celebrate, you know, a new championship, celebrate a new champion, start thinking about the future. This was just, no, we're going to get these Bella Twins together. And it sucks already.
It's a big disappointment when you think about how last night really felt like a bit of a reset. So many things were changing, and it seemed like we were going into not a new era, but, you know, just Things were changing a bit than they were, and they were supposed to be drastically different than they were at least the week before, and it doesn't really feel that way. It's like whatever happened last night, and aside from the obvious changes, nothing else has changed.
Right.
Just want to mention one more thing about the WWE new logo implementation. One thing I did really like was the new microphone flags. I think they're really neat. They're a little bit bigger than the old ones they had, and they're not just a regular triangle. They got those extra corners on them. I think they're very well designed. They look good on TV.
That I didn't notice. It's not the same ones that they use in NXT?
It might be. It might be. I'm not 100% sure. They look like something new. I don't believe I've seen those before. Anyway, my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I am also going to give to Dean Ambrose, specifically for the Ice Bucket Challenge segment, and just the whole, what? It's for charity. And the way he bounced the bucket off of Seth Rollins' head. That was, yeah, that was just hilarious. Creepers Under Radars in the chat room saying that bucket was gold. Absolutely. My bad. I'm going to give to the choices for the match stipulation on the app vote. Come on, is that really the best you can do? I mean, we've had some piss poor choices before, but just lazy. And if you're going to bring back the app vote for the first time in months and this is what you're going to give us, why even bother? Like, why not just said you're having a Falls Count Anywhere match tonight? Because since you were going to go where you wanted, even with the Lumberjacks, we'll just let you do whatever you want. There you go. Falls Count Anywhere match. Set up perfectly. Believable way. And for the ugly, I really can't think of anything that was particularly ugly. I mean, I know we haven't been completely high in this, but there wasn't any one segment that I was like, oh my God, that was so dumb and awful. So for me, I'm going to go with something a little bit different for the ugly, and I'm just going to say Bo Dallas's face. Since, you know, we didn't get to see him for a couple weeks, I kind of forgot, but my God, that is one ugly dude.
Aww. Well, so, I'm going to disagree, but
that's going to wrap us up talking about tonight's show. In conclusion, I think a lot of people had fun with last night's SummerSlam special event, but this was a disappointing follow-up for Raw. It's only the first one afterwards. You know, we got a long path going forward. You know, wrestling is ever constant. No date, no off-season, as people always like to point out. So we'll see how things continue going forward. There are some interesting things going on. It's not all bad. And, you know, it's fine. You can't have home runs all the time. And I think considering how good they did last night, I think it's okay for them to be a little bit off tonight. Any closing words you want to throw in there, Tony?
I agree and I disagree. I think that you can every once in a while take a little bit of a night off, but you shouldn't, especially not after SummerSlam. You should ride that momentum, and you should really, if you need to take a week off, trudge through this one episode, take next week off.
Is this a product of the no competition? You know, where they can kind of take weeks off and it's really not that big of a deal, other than maybe affecting their ratings?
No, I think it's a product of them oversaturating themselves. We've got way too many shows. I mean, we used to have in the Attitude Era Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. That's it, for the most part. I mean, we had like Sunday Night Heat and stuff like that, but they would tape that before other things. So that's kind of just the same as Superstars and Main Event. But now they're trying to get people to do backstage interviews for like 8 different shows. They're filming things for the network. They're doing house shows. They're doing 4 or 5 different TV shows each week. These people
How
are all
tired.
How weird
was it that they did the backstage pass after Raw tonight for SummerSlam? Kind of a good choice. Yeah, they're going to be playing the backstage pass for SummerSlam after Raw tonight rather than after SummerSlam last night.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And WWE makes those odd choices. But all right, guys, we're going to be closing things out for this episode of the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. One last bit of business, and that's to let everyone here just, you know, take a moment, say goodbye to y'all, plug anything that we might want to be putting out there we want you to know about. So, Tony, what's good in the world of Tony Mango that you want folks to know about?
I had some awesome pasta earlier today. That was really good.
Spaghetti
meatballs.
I was just eating some pasta, and I was like, man, where did all my problems go?
It has that effect on people, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Us is great. Same old stuff, smartoutmoment.com, youtube.com/smartoutmoment, iTunes and Stitcher, where you're going to find the different episodes of Smack Talk podcast. We've also got different stuff coming your way from Bleacher Report, maybe some What Culture articles coming up soon. Some other announcement that I'm going to probably talk about on Smack Talk later on this week. And, of course, fanboysanonymous.com for all your things in geek culture, all the nerds out there like myself and Mike Payton and all the other people that are a part of that are talking about movies and video games and stuff. So if you're interested in that, go check that out. Check out those podcasts and everything else that we have going on there. And for everything else under A Mango Tree, you can find links to God knows what else on the internet, on all those different avenues, because I like to throw my name out there everywhere.
All right. Well, first off, this one's for Mr. Drew White, who has joined us in the chat room this week. Hope you're having a good time at college. And just when you think you have something smart to say, Just remember, Time Cow is always out there looking for you. Folks, we hope you enjoyed listening to this edition of the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. If you did, be sure to join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw. It's MegaPowersRadio.com is the place to be. The most interactive post-Raw experience available. We got the phone lines for you to call and chat room always bubbling with folks in there chatting about. We would love to have you involved. And for any reason, though, you cannot be here with us. If you can't be us, that's going to be tough. If you can't be here with us on Monday nights for the live show, you can find us archived easily on SmarkOutMoment.com, where you will find links to our iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube feeds, where you can subscribe to us and automatically get us inside your iPod, Droid device, or browser, whatever it is you like listening to via those mediums. Pay attention to everything else we got going on here at MegaPowersRadio.com as well. The Daceman Show on Wednesday nights has been getting a lot of guests lately. We've been having the return of shows like Addicted to Anime, and For Real Movie Club has another episode coming up at the end of this month in tribute to Robin Williams. It's been a big topic over the last week, the sad passing of Robin Williams. We're going to be reviewing four movies of his. Great show if you haven't had a chance to join the For Real Movie Club yet. If you're a movie fan, check that one out. And until next time, folks, I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango. This is the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com, and we'll see y'all next week on Monday night following Raw.